Good afternoon, everyone. For WRCO News, I'm Todd Comperno. Kick this off with list of closed roads. Obviously, there's been some flooding with the heavy rain. At last update, this was the most current list we've been given. Bowman Drive in Richland Center closed due to water over the roadway. And in the county, from Josh Elder, County Highway D from intersection of State Highway 80 to Blood Lane is closed, and State Highway 80 from the Rockbridge store to 1/2 mile south of the store is closed. County DD and County I are now open. The county was aware there's some flooding at County F near Excelsior. They were putting signs up out there indicating high water. And the advice, as always, do not drive through high water and always remain vigilant while driving. There are some flood warnings still in effect along the Kickapoo River in Lafarge. That warning ends tonight. And in Viola tomorrow night, just again, the general advice, be vigilant, slow down a little bit, look around. If you do see flooding, let us know. We'll get it on the air, 647-2111. The Richland Center City Council is set to convene Tuesday, July 7th at 6:30 p.m. to address several key administrative and planning items. The agenda includes a comprehensive review of the treasurer's and utility treasurer's reports, alongside the standard approval of bills. In terms of local governance, the council will deliberate on a potential amendment to the ordinances governing the park board, as well as a lease renewal for advanced pump and well solutions. Organizational adjustments are also under consideration, with a proposal to amend the council rules to formally designate the mayor as a non-voting ex officio member of the General Government Committee. Furthermore, the council is scheduled to review a conditional use permit application submitted by Ryan and Megan Plumer for the construction of a 256-square-foot garden shed at 1235 Arbor Lane. These matters highlight the ongoing efforts by the council to effectively manage city infrastructure, administrative appointments, and property development projects within the community. The upcoming Richland Center Utility Commission meeting, scheduled for July 8th at 5:30 p.m., will address several key administrative and infrastructure topics. The agenda includes standard procedural items such as roll call approval of minutes, the treasurer's report, and a review of monthly utility bills. A major focus of this session will be a discussion on the WPPI contract extension, which is intended to support local officials in making informed decisions. In addition to administrative business, the community is focused on ongoing infrastructure improvements. Utility manager Scott Gald recently highlighted the Valley View Drive renovation project, which is part of a broader citywide utility upgrade. This initiative also features the installation of new, efficient meters aimed at streamlining data collection for the benefit of residents. As with many smaller communities, the success of these projects depends on the collaborative efforts of city employees to maintain essential services. The meeting is open to the public, providing residents an opportunity to engage with utility leadership. The Richland School District Board of Education has officially announced an upcoming regular school board governance meeting. This meeting serves as a vital platform for discussing district-wide initiatives and ensuring that the educational environment remains centered on the needs and successes of its students. Residents and stakeholders are encouraged to attend to stay informed about the latest developments and governance policies affecting the Richland School District. The meeting is scheduled to take place Wednesday, July 8th at 7 p.m. at the Richland Center High School in the IMC. This gathering provides an opportunity for the board to review prior minutes, discuss strategic frameworks, and evaluate operational expectations to better serve the community. The Henry Vilas Zoo in Madison received a threat of violence around 1:40 p.m. Thursday. Zoo staff immediately contacted law enforcement and evacuated visitors out of caution. Madison police believe the threat was an incident of swatting, which is a false report intended to trigger a large emergency response. The threat was made over the phone, and Madison police noted that zoos nationwide have recently been targeted by similar swatting attempts. The zoo stated their staff is trained for such situations, and animal areas were secured. The zoo planned to reopen today at 9:30. Lone Rock will be holding their annual 4th of July celebration tonight and tomorrow at Fireman's Park in Lone Rock. Tonight, Doc's DJ will be playing music starting at 5 o'clock, and there will be a youth through old-timers baseball game at 8 o'clock. Saturday, the marketplace will open in the morning at 7 o'clock, and the 5K water run will be held. Angela Larson is the committee chair for the Lone Rock Celebration.
It starts at 8 o'clock. We're starting at Fireman's Park, so they'll kind of take off from there. And it's a 5K, so there's a route throughout Lone Rock that's already known ahead of time. So the people that live along that route are encouraged to get out your water hoses, get out your water guns, and spray those runners as they are coming through.
The parade steps off at 11 o'clock, and if you're hungry, there will be two chicken barbecues to choose from.
Down at the fire station, the EMS will be having their chicken barbecue going on right after the parade. And then also down at the Fireman's Park, this year it's the Community Congregational Church of Lone Rock. They'll have their chicken barbecue down at Fireman's Park. And that's actually starting right around the same time as the parade. So after the parade, just head down to either one of those places. And I know it usually sells out pretty quick, so you'll have to plan ahead.
At noon, the bouncy houses for the kids get underway. A sand wrestling tournament and Tuningo will be held at 4 o'clock. Music will be provided by Doc's DJ from 5 o'clock until midnight, and a raffle drawing will be held at 6 o'clock. To round out the evening, fireworks will be held at dusk. There will also be a concession stand both days. Celebrate our country's 250th birthday at the Lone Rock 4th of July celebration tonight and tomorrow at Fireman's Park in Lone Rock. More information can be found at LoneRock4thOfJuly.org and on the Lone Rock 4th of July Facebook page. The Boscobel Fireman's 2026 July 4th celebration will be held today and tomorrow at Cronsage Park in Boscobel. The annual event gets underway today with co-ed sand volleyball starting at 3 o'clock. There will be music in the park featuring Nate Gallagher acoustic set from 5 until 6 o'clock, local talent Dakota Bedward from 6:30 to 7:30, and Super Tuesday from 8 o'clock until midnight. During the evening, steak sandwiches and meals will be available for purchase until sold out. Saturday, the day begins with the firecracker run at 8 o'clock. Registration will be at 7:30. The Giant Street Parade steps off at 1 o'clock. This year's theme is Stars, Stripes, and 250 Years of Freedom. Parade registration will be from 11 o'clock until 12:30. After the parade, kids' rides will be held from 1:30 to 7. Countryfied Band will perform from 3 to 7 o'clock. Willie and Hank Kids Firefighting Challenge will be from 6:30 until 8. And the area's largest fireworks show will be at dusk. Concessions and food will be available during all events. Absolutely no carry-ins or fireworks. Have fun and be entertained during the Boscobel Fireman's 2026 July 4th celebration today and tomorrow at Cronsage Park in Boscobel. Celebrate America's 250th anniversary in grand style at the Veterans Memorial Park in Hillsboro. The American Legion Post 223 is proud to sponsor this year's festivities, which promise an afternoon and evening filled with entertainment for the entire community. Beginning at 4 p.m., enjoy live music by Donnie Razek, followed by a special performance at 7 p.m. of the play, Oh Say Can You See 250 Years of American History. Throughout the event, from 4 p.m. until 9 p.m., attendees can enjoy various food, drinks, and family-friendly activities. The day concludes with a spectacular fireworks display at dusk, lighting up the sky over Veterans Memorial Lake. A 54-year-old Prairie du Sac resident was taken into custody Thursday following a search warrant execution that uncovered illicit materials on electronic devices. On Thursday, officers from the Sauk Prairie Police Department executed a search warrant at a residence in the 800 block of 20th Street in the village of Prairie du Sac. The search, prompted by information from the Wisconsin Department of Justice, led to the seizure of multiple electronic devices containing images of child pornography. The Sauk Prairie Police Department and the Wisconsin Department of Justice are continuing their joint investigation into the matter, and officials noted that additional charges may be filed as the probe continues. The Sauk Prairie Police Department expressed gratitude for the assistance provided by the Wisconsin Department of Justice during the operation. Anyone with information regarding this case is encouraged to contact the Sauk Prairie Police Department at 608-643-2427. Anonymous tips can also be provided to the Sauk County Crime Stoppers at 888-TIP-SAUK. Iowa County deputies responded to the 100 block of East North Street in the city of Dodgeville to take Todd Dineen Sr. into custody on a warrant with additional charges, including possession of methamphetamine and bail jumping. Later in the day, the Iowa County Communications Center managed several emergency reports. At 12:44 p.m., the Dodgeville Fire Department, EMS, police, and Alliant Energy responded to a gas leak in the 300 block of King Street, which was resolved with no injuries. At 4:48 p.m., emergency crews from Spring Green responded to a burning tree blocking the 6,000 block of Lower Wyoming Road, which was cleared by the Wyoming Township. At 5:05 p.m., a two-vehicle crash in the 100 block of East Main Street in the village of Cobb required a response from Cobb first responders, Highland EMS, and an Iowa County deputy. No injuries reported. Finally, at 7:04 p.m., the Arena Fire Department and EMS responded to a tree that fell on wires in the 6,000 block on Lower Wyoming Road, causing smoke and sparks. The tree was removed and the fire extinguished, again with no injuries. Local authorities are investigating a tragic two-vehicle accident that claimed the life of an 89-year-old woman on Thursday afternoon. The Columbia County Sheriff's Office responded to a 911 call at approximately 2:39 p.m. July 2nd, following reports of a crash between a small SUV and a passenger car on County Highway CM near Lynx Road in the town of Fort Winnebago. First responders arrived shortly after an automated emergency call alerted dispatchers to the deployment of airbags at the scene. Emergency personnel immediately began rendering first aid to the occupants. The driver of the SUV, a 22-year-old female from Portage, sustained minor injuries. However, the occupants of the passenger car faced far more severe consequences. An 89-year-old female passenger from Portage was airlifted to UW Hospital by MedFlight, where she was later pronounced deceased by the Dane County Medical Examiner's Office. A preliminary investigation into the collision indicates that the SUV was traveling westbound on County Highway CM when it crossed the center line, resulting in a head-on impact with the eastbound car. The car was operated by an 89-year-old male from Dalton and carried another passenger, an 87-year-old female also from Dalton. The roadway remained closed for over 3 hours while investigators processed the scene. Officials have stated that the identities of those involved are being withheld pending the notification of next of kin. In the wake of this fatal accident, authorities are issuing a stern reminder to the public about the dangers of distracted driving. Officials emphasize that safe driving requires a motorist's full attention and remains one of the most preventable causes of serious fatalities on Wisconsin roadways. The sheriff's office noted that a single moment of focus can prevent a lifetime of regret for families and the community alike. The 89-year-old female was transported by MedFlight. The Columbia County Sheriff's Office was notified by the Dane County Medical Examiner's Office that the female has been pronounced dead. As the July holiday weekend approaches, the Wisconsin State Patrol is issuing a timely reminder for travelers. Slower traffic must keep to the right on interstates and multi-lane highways. This focus on traffic flow, named the July Law of the Month, emphasizes that keeping the left lane open for passing is crucial for reducing tailgating and preventing rear-end collisions. Wisconsin State Patrol Superintendent Tim Carnahan highlighted the importance of a safe journey, noting that the expected increase in holiday travelers makes it essential to avoid lingering in the left lane. According to Wisconsin State statute, vehicles traveling below the normal speed of traffic are required to occupy the right lane, with exceptions made only for passing or preparing specific turns. The guidance also stresses the importance of Wisconsin's move-over law, which requires drivers to move over or slow down when approaching emergency vehicles, highway maintenance, or stranded motorists. Additionally, drivers should remain vigilant in work zones, follow posted speed limits, and utilize 511 Wisconsin for real-time travel conditions. A central Wisconsin man accused of stealing women's underwear pleaded not guilty in Portage County Court. John P. Stalker entered the plea for a count of burglary on Wednesday, stemming from a report by a 21-year-old woman who found her underwear drawer empty in early June. Security camera footage from a nearby home led police to arrest Stalker a few days later after they found the missing clothes in his possession during a search of his home. He now faces charges for burglary and felony bail jumping, the latter stemming from a previous stalking case, and officers suspect the 41-year-old may have stolen underwear from other women as well. He'll return to court in August. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced the temporary closure of the DNR-managed public access site on Seeley Lake in Sauk County. This closure is necessitated by the ongoing removal of a privately owned dam that has been in place since 1955. The dam originally created the 52-acre impoundment known as Seeley Lake, but its removal marks a significant transition for the local ecosystem. Once the deconstruction project is finalized, Seeley Lake will be restored to its natural state as a flowing creek. This restoration will reestablish vital connectivity between the creek and the Baraboo River, benefiting the local watershed and aquatic habitats. The transformation from an impoundment back to a free-flowing water body represents a major shift in the area's natural landscape. For the duration of the project, the site is designated as an active construction zone located immediately adjacent to the public access point. The DNR emphasizes that the closure is a critical measure to ensure public safety. Visitors and residents who typically utilize this location for water access or recreation are advised to seek alternative access points or identify different fishing locations until the project is complete. The DNR expresses gratitude for the community's patience and cooperation during this safety-focused restoration effort. FEMA has officially announced that federal disaster assistance is available for the state of Wisconsin to support recovery efforts following severe storms, tornadoes, and flooding that occurred between April 13th and April 23rd of this year. This presidential action provides essential funding to help affected individuals, local governments, and nonprofit organizations rebuild and recover from the disaster. For residents in Bayfield, Brown, Buffalo, Jackson, Jefferson, Juneau, Kenosha, Manitowoc, Marathon, Milwaukee, Outagamie, Racine, Rock, Sauk, Vernon, Washington, Waukesha, Waupaca, and Winnebago counties, as well as the Oneida Nation. Assistance is available in the form of grants for temporary housing and home repairs. Additionally, low-cost loans are being offered to cover uninsured property losses, alongside various other programs designed to aid families in their recovery. State and tribal governments, as well as eligible private nonprofits in specific counties, may also receive funding for emergency work and the repair of damaged facilities on a cost-sharing basis. Hannah Penn has been appointed as the federal coordinating officer to lead the recovery operations. While assessments are ongoing, additional designations for assistance may be made in the future as more information becomes available. Individuals and families who have sustained losses should begin the recovery process by filing claims with their insurance providers. After filing a claim, they can apply for FEMA assistance online at disasterassistance.gov. Governor Tony Evers, in partnership with the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, has announced a strategic trade mission to Ghana and South Africa scheduled for this summer. The delegation aims to strengthen international trade efforts, promote Wisconsin's diverse exports, and solidify economic partnerships within two of Africa's most dynamic markets. The mission's primary objective is to ensure that Wisconsin's vital industries, ranging from agriculture and manufacturing to healthcare, continue to thrive through global engagement. By fostering people-to-people ties and educational connections, the administration seeks to create long-term certainty for local businesses and regional economies during a period of global trade uncertainty. A key highlight of the trip will be a visit to Niche Cocoa Industry in Ghana. As the largest cocoa processor in the country, Niche Cocoa maintains a significant North American presence with a manufacturing facility in Franklin, Wisconsin, representing a major African foreign direct investment in the state. The governor also plans to meet with various Wisconsin-based companies currently operating in South Africa to discuss expansion and future economic opportunities. With Africa housing the world's youngest and fastest growing population, the Evers administration views this mission as a critical step in positioning Wisconsin industries to benefit from the continent's rising consumer demand and demographic expansion. This visit marks the governor's fourth international trade mission since 2018, following successful delegations to Japan, Europe, and the United Kingdom. The Wisconsin Natural Resources Board officially approved the deer harvest quotas and framework for the upcoming 2026 hunting season during their meeting on June 24th. This announcement from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources sets the stage for a season shaped by local population data and community input. A significant highlight for the 2026 season is the availability of 272,720 total bonus antlerless harvest authorizations. These permits, which go on sale starting August 17th, are offered in addition to the free authorizations typically issued in farmland zones. The distribution of these opportunities varies across deer management units to ensure that harvest levels align with specific local population objectives. This tailored approach allows for more aggressive management where deer populations are high and more conservative measures where numbers are lower. The DNR developed these season recommendations in close partnership with citizen deer advisory councils, incorporating public feedback to balance ecological goals with hunter interests. Notably, bonus antlerless authorizations will be available in nearly every management unit across the state, with DMU 116 being the sole exception following a specific recommendation from its local council. Hunters planning to secure additional authorizations can do so through the Go Wild license portal or at physical license sales locations beginning at 10 a.m. Monday, August 17th. The sales rollout will begin with 3 days of zone-specific availability before all remaining permits open to the general public Thursday, August 20th. Comprehensive resources, including full quota details and season structures, remain available on the DNR's official hunting web page. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is celebrating the 50th anniversary of its Wisconsin Cancer Reporting System this month, marking a significant milestone in the state's ongoing efforts to prevent and treat cancer. Established in 1976 to collect statewide cancer data, the WCRS is recognized as the ninth oldest cancer registry in the United States and serves as a vital component of a national network that provides a complete picture of new cancer cases, treatments, and outcomes across the country. Today, the WCRS collects critical diagnosis data from healthcare providers throughout Wisconsin, tracking over 330 different types of cancer. Paula Tran, State Health Officer and Administrator of the Division of Public Health, emphasized the importance of this work, noting that collecting data, tracking health outcomes, and identifying disease trends are the cornerstones of public health. For the past 50 years, the Wisconsin Cancer Reporting System has been a core part of how the state delivers on this mission. According to Tran, the program enables officials to better inform prevention, testing, and treatment strategies to save lives.